Well, if you've been paying attention to the news headlines, you'll know that it's been a week of turmoil, and some of those things that have happened over this week has been mentioned in our prayers. You'll know that there was a series of mass killings of students in the University of Calgary. There was also a ferry disaster off the coast of South Korea. You know that there's been, if you're an outdoors extreme sports person, that there has been an avalanche in the Himalayas. As Linda prayed as well, you'll know and you'll be aware of the conflict that's ongoing in the Ukraine and in Russia. And also you'll know that the authorities have been catching up with cyberbullies, which has been wonderful news. These are just some of the tragedies that have affected our whole world and that affected us, directly or indirectly. And yet Jesus tells us in today's scripture reading, peace be with you all. Peace be with us. Now, how do we approach this challenge from the risen one amidst all the chaos that is happening around us in this world? The command comes after this amazing promise and gift in verse 22. And if you haven't yet opened your Bibles to today's passage, I encourage you to do so. There's Bibles in front of you in the pew. John 20, verses 19 to 23. Go to verse 22. Jesus says this. He says to his friends, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has said so much about the Spirit in John's Gospel, which is his own Spirit. The Spirit which is the Father's special gift to his people. And now that time has come, he blows on them. Now, it's clear that the point of receiving the Holy Spirit is not to give the disciples just another new set of experiences, although they will have plenty of those to come. It's also not in order to be a part of a holier-than-thou club, though they are called to live the rich, full life of devotion and dedication that is modeled in Jesus Christ. The point of receiving the Holy Spirit is so that they can do in and for the whole world what Jesus has been doing in Israel. Jesus continues on in verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I think that's the key to all of this. So you might ask, how does the unique achievement of Jesus in one time and place affect all other times and places? Jesus has defeated death. He's begun the work of new creation. The thing is, his followers don't have to do that all over again. We don't have to do this work all over again. Jesus did it. Jesus only asks us to implement his work, to implement Jesus' work, not to duplicate it. Jesus' mission to Israel, reaching its climax in his death and resurrection, is to be implemented by the disciples' mission to the world. And that's why they need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus' breath, God's breath, enables us to do the job that we could otherwise never dream of doing. And that brings us to today. We as Jesus' followers are not called to duplicate what Jesus has accomplished. That's God's job. Jesus defeated death, not you or not I. And Jesus has begun the work of new creation. Our role is to implement it, to live it out, to share it with others. We don't have to recreate the wheel. We just have to go forth and perform the extraordinary task that Jesus gives us. In verse 23, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Interesting. In other words, we are to pronounce in God's name and by His Spirit the message of forgiveness to all who believe in Jesus. Now, the TNIV translates this later part as, if you do not forgive sins, they will not be forgiven. I like it how Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message. It reads this way: if you do not forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? If you do not forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? And even yet a better reading, according to N.T. Wright, would be this: we are also to retain sins. This means to warn the world that sin is a very serious, very deadly disease, and that to remain in it will ultimately bring death, like cancer. We are to rebuke and to warn, not in a Fred Phelps of Westboro Baptist manner, but in a way that is compelling, that draws people to God. Not because we're seeking power or prestige for ourselves, because the world around us is very confused about this. It's a very muddled world. And so we're called to do what Jesus has commanded in verse 23. We are called to forgive sins. We are called to rebuke and to warn. But we are called to do this in love and compassion, with grace and with mercy. And we need to do this in ways that allow people to see God through our words and through our actions. We are called to build opportunities for others, to bridge the gap for others between them and God.